join us for an encouraging word from the Dominion Teaching Team. Here's the message.
Welcome, everyone, tonight. We're continuing our study of the spiritual gifts. And so Pastor asked me tonight if I would spend some time on personal prophecies. It's easy for you to say. I think it's like Pastor Fowler said, I never had trouble with my language until I started coming here.
That's true.
So we've been talking about personal prophecies, and then I have added a section at the end where we're going to talk about the keys to entering God's presence so you can get your own prophecies. And so we'll talk about both of those tonight and spend a little time learning about the things of God. So one of the gifts from the Holy Spirit is prophecy. And we've talked about before that prophecy is not necessarily about the future. There are prophecies about the future. The Bible is full of those. The book of Revelation, the book of Daniel, all those sort of things are future prophecies. But in this case, we're talking about the gift of prophecy that is a forthtelling or an expression of something that God is trying to tell us, and it may or may not be related to the future. And many of those are related to the present or to the near present in our personal lives, something that God is trying to communicate to us. So a personal prophecy then is a personal message to an individual delivered through another person. Now sometimes there is a prophecy to the church, and it will be delivered as here's what the congregation needs to do, here's something we need to focus on. But I'm taking it in a narrower focus tonight. This is when somebody tells you something that the Holy Spirit has revealed to them for your encouragement and uplifting. So we'll start with the concept that personal prophecy is a good thing. It's something the Holy Spirit gives us. It's an impartation of knowledge that He wants us to have, and it's designed to encouragement, build up, and confirm direction perhaps in something that you might be doing. And so, having received personal prophecies, those things are very valuable. And so in my wallet are some records of some prophecies that I have received. Now probably the very best one was a fellow who specialized in giving you scriptures that the Lord would drop into his heart about you. It's really hard to mess up when you're giving out scriptures. Very wise man. And so the scripture was given to me as a very young man, just starting out my career in industry. And it says, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe and do according to all that is written therein. For then shall make thy way prosperous, and thou shalt have good success." That's a wonderful scripture for a young guy getting started out. And there's four of those type of scriptures that were given to me. I wrote them down. I put them on a card. I laminated them. I don't know if you can see it or not, but it's all kind of yellow-like. It's been in the pocket for a long time. And this indeed has been a key to whatever success I've had. Now, it's a really good scripture, so if you want to apply it to your life, it's going to work really well because it works for anybody. But this was specifically for me because God knew that I needed that to make success in my life. And then I've got one that was a couple of years later than that. And since the one in my pocket is really small, I'll read from a bigger version of it. It says, "It's time for this. Yes, it's time for this. My son, I would say to you that there is a word that I spoke to you many, many moons ago." That's a good way to start a personal prophecy, because one of the things we're going to talk about personal prophecy is it's many times designed as a confirmation of something you already know. And so here's something God has already spoken to me, and the prophet's telling me that that's going to come to pass. And it's been down in your heart, but yet you see the devil has come to steal it. There's been times when you've come to me and said, "Oh, that word was so precious, I think I'll never see it come to pass. But you see what I've spoken by my spirit, that my spirit shall also watch over to perform." the only thing that has hindered me is sometimes your eagerness, you get out ahead of me, and sometimes you get frustrated, you would lag along behind. Man, that applies to all of us, doesn't it? But that was given specifically to me. Stay where I am. Don't be running off ahead or behind. But I'd say, come and run with me and let us run together. Let us run together. Let us run together. Not you ahead and not too far behind. But let us do it together. And I will take those things which have been spoken by the Spirit and whose gifts that have been promised and those things that you're concerned about, even now I will move in your behalf. And that's the first paragraph of a two or three paragraph message. And so that's the kind of things that comes in a personal prophecy. You're on the right track. I'm going to do what I told you. I'm confirming what you already know in your heart, what you've already heard. And if I were going to rate this as a prophecy, I'd give it 100. Not only because I've had it a long time and it's actually come to pass, but because it fits the things that, in my opinion and my experience, that makes a good prophecy. So here's some other things about personal prophecy. First of all, it must be from God and never from the person. You don't get to give personal prophecies. The Holy Spirit gives personal prophecies. And so you cannot claim to speak for God when the message is not from God. That's the crime of impersonation. And if you impersonate a doctor or a lawyer or a policeman or any number of things, you can go to jail. Why would you dare impersonate God? And so it's got to come from God. It's got to be a work of the Holy Spirit. It's not something that you can think up on your own. So if you see somebody and you know they're doing something wrong, and you're moved to go tell them about it, that's the spirit of you. Don't do that. God can do a lot better things than you can come up with in your very best day. Here's a scripture that talks about that. No prophecy ever originated because some man willed it to do. Never come by human impulse. That's a real key element. What is causing you to want to do that? Is it human? But men spoke from God when they were born along, moved and impelled by the Holy Spirit. And so the deliverance of a personal prophecy needs to be impelled by the Spirit moving on you, that this is something that the Spirit's telling me to do, not something I want to do. Real key part of it. But personal prophecies are often not a common occurrence for most believers. The prophecy of the week, I don't believe, is scriptural or necessary. The primary method of communication with God is reading the Bible and praying. And so God does not honor laziness. So it's not right for me to come up to Pastor Fowler and says, I'm too lazy to read my Bible and pray. Would you give me a prophecy so I won't have to do anything? That's not the way it works. God wants us to dig out our own information from the Scripture, pray, listen to Him, and that's His primary method of communication. And the effort that you put into that is as much a part of the answer as whatever answer you hear. The effort you put into it is an important part of the process. So you're going to get personal prophecies if you're around spiritual things, but not every week, maybe not every month, when God knows that you need it. There are some that have special gifts of that. And so we've had a guy here called Luke Holter that the Spirit moves on him, and he always has in a given service a message for half a dozen people or something. That's not typical. That's a special gift for that person. Pastor Greg moves in that gift very frequently, but not everybody's supposed to do that. And the real key is that it's not for building up the reputation of the prophet. You don't give personal prophecy so people will say, ooh, isn't he neat? That's not the purpose of it. In fact, if you want to kill that gift, that's a good way to do it. You try to take credit for something God's doing, He's not going to really share His glory with you. He'll turn you off. anything that comes in a personal prophecy must be consistent with the Bible. And it's also designed to build up the recipient. One key about that when you're evaluating a personal prophecy is personal prophecy only comes through persons who are submitted to authority. Personal prophecies never come through a rebel. God doesn't deal with rebels well. He punishes them. He doesn't make them his mouthpiece. So if somebody is out of cooperation with the rest of the body and they start giving words of what knowledge or wisdom, scratch it off. Do you know that for every true gift of the Spirit or every manifestation of the Spirit, there's a false one? Satan is not a creator, has never created anything. All he does is take the good things of God and find ways to make a fake one. And so things can look similar to the real gift, but be based on the wrong thing. So don't listen to a rebel. The thing is, you must hear the voice of God. And so the scripture here that you ought to think about as you're giving or receiving a personal prophecy, as the scripture says, the sheep that are my own hear and are listening to my voice, and I know them and they follow me. You need to have heard the voice of God often enough that you recognize it. That is your responsibility, is to be listening to God enough so that you recognize when that's Him speaking and not your own mind playing tricks on you. And so if you're a true sheep of God, you'll know His voice. And so if you don't know the voice of God, you haven't done your homework well enough to be able to receive and to judge things that are coming to you, whether or not they're of God or not of God. So it's important that you recognize when God's speaking or when somebody else is speaking. So if you're going to give a personal prophecy, you're going to feel an inward pressure that's not from you. The pressure is going to come inside, and you're going to feel an urge that you want to deliver something that God has spoken to you. And it's probably not going to be something that you've been thinking about on your own. And I'm pretty sure it won't be anything that you've been composing. Because the Holy Spirit moves, and He gives it to you. And if you've been thinking about this for 3 weeks, how you're going to say it, what you're going to say, I don't know. I have my doubts. Because in my experience, when a personal prophecy comes, it's something that comes right then for that purpose when you need it. You know, I read many years ago the story of Corrie Ten Boom. And her dad was a watchmaker, a watch repairman. And they would have to go on a train to the big city and take their master pocket watch with them and get the correct time off of the official clock ever so often so that they could set all their clocks properly. And that was the train ride. And so she was talking to her dad one time about why she wasn't hearing things from God and why things weren't working out. And he asked her, he says, when we go to town, when do I give you the train ticket? She says, well, right before we get on the train. He says, that's the way God works. He gives you your ticket right when you need it. He doesn't necessarily give it to you way ahead of time. He's going to give it to you when it's needed. And so generally, my belief is that when you hear a personal prophecy, it's going to come rather quickly and be delivered rather quickly in the situation that you're in. And so this is a word of knowledge of the Holy Spirit, not a word of observation because of your observation of the situation. Now, you may know someone, for example, who's grieving, but it's different where you come up and say, oh, I'm so sorry that you're grieving, or give them some scripture, and when the Holy Spirit comes upon you and you give a word to them that says something that the Holy Spirit wants them to hear supernaturally. Generally, a personal prophecy will come somewhat from a mature person. Now, having said that, everybody has their first time to be a giver of personal prophecy if you're going to move in that gift. So you can't always get it from experienced people because experienced people came through their first time. But only rarely is a personal prophecy going to come from a novice. So if somebody's been saved 3 weeks and they start giving out personal prophecies, I'm going to treat that with suspicion. Because they haven't, back to that knowledge of hearing the word of God, hearing the voice of God and recognizing it, they probably haven't had enough experience to be qualified to do that. Now, I'm not going to say that's 100%. Sometimes God takes some young person that's just gotten saved and use them in wonderful ways. He can do that. But when I see that happening with someone that's young in the Lord but doesn't have experience, I keep that as a distance and I don't move on that too fast until I've had time to check it out. Also, if you're giving a personal prophecy, you want to do it in relative privacy. Most of the time, a personal prophecy is not intended to be broadcast because it's for a specific person. And we say, well, what about Luke Holter and some of those guys? They do it from the pulpit. Yeah, that happens sometimes. But more than likely, if you would give a personal prophecy to someone, you need to do it kind of one-on-one. Pastor most of the time does that when he's given a word. It's rarely publicly. Sometimes, but most of the time it's one-on-one. And many times when he's wearing a microphone, you turn it off before he gives someone a personal prophecy, because usually that is a word for a person, not a word for everybody. If you're giving a personal prophecy, you want to state what God is telling you and don't add the interpretation. So whatever God's saying you, give it to that person. Don't try to tell them what it means or add stuff to it or give advice. The Holy Spirit knows how to deal with people much better than you do. So don't try to be the Holy Spirit. Give them the word. It's their word. And if they ask you, maybe you can help them with that if you're qualified to do that. But that's not your job. You're just to give the word. The other thing I find helpful is to verify. Ask the person, does this mean something to you? How do you feel about what I just told you? Get some feedback to find out if that makes sense to them. And what that does, that then gives you some feedback to say, how good am I at following God? Because many times when I have been the one that give a personal prophecy, I'll ask them how they feel about it, and they'll say, man, that just hits me right between the eyes. I needed that. And that should be the kind of reaction you get when the Holy Spirit's moved. But if you tell somebody something and it doesn't mean anything to them, there's a couple of things. One, you might want to check out what you heard. Were you old-timey word in the flesh? Or sometimes it might be the word is not ripe yet. They need it. They just don't know they need it yet. But it's always good, I think, to get a little feedback about, you know, this is what I heard. What do you think about this? Remember that it's not about you, it's about them. So it's not to make you look good. It's about ministering to them and the Holy Spirit. The focus is on the other person and on God and not on you. And you're just the instrument. You don't get any of the glory for it. You don't get any of the praise for it. It's just something you're doing for the Holy Spirit. Now it's a little bit to receiving personal prophecy. I truly believe that a personal prophecy you get is going to be a confirmation of something that's already been working in your heart. Maybe it's not the answer that's in your heart, but at least the question is going to be in your heart. Somebody just gives you something out of the blue. Maybe that's true. But my reaction to that would be, okay, I'm going to hold that and wait for additional confirmation. If I hear it a second time or a third time, or I'm in my personal prayers and I hear God confirming that, then that adds some validity to it. If somebody comes up to me and says, God wants you to move to California tomorrow. I need more confirmation than just that. Now, if God has been working on me for the last 6 months to move to California and somebody says that, that's altogether different. So make sure it's a confirmation. Don't act on something new. Just hold it. Wait and see. The other thing you want to do when receiving, you want to be very cautious about unknown prophets. So if it's somebody you don't know, somebody you've never heard of, never seen of, somebody that's not a routine member of your church, somebody that just walks in off of the street, I'm going to treat that with a lot of caution. I'm not saying it can't happen. God can use anybody. But I really need a relationship with the person that's getting something into my life so that I feel comfortable in evaluating that. I'm also very cautious about prolific prophets. There are some people that do that. You know, to me, Pastor Greg does that quite frequently. Sometimes I see it, most of the time I don't. But he has a special gift for doing that. But I've also known people that give everybody a word every time they saw them, and I'm just awfully sure that they weren't in the spirit when they were doing that. They were what I would call a busybody. Here's one of my keys. God does not talk to blabbermouths. He only works through people that are full of wisdom and know how to handle the word well and do it graciously and do it privately and do it where it's not embarrassing. God's very much a gentleman in the way he presents things. And he just doesn't go talking to people that are going to spread around everything and just blab everything they know. Now, I'm not quite sure where that scripture is, but I'm pretty sure it's in there. What about if the prophecy is wrong? So I'm going to give you two examples of that that's actually happened to me. God had told my family and I that this is what he wanted us to do. And a person in the church that was a godly man, one I respected, one I still respect, called me on the phone and says, God's saying not to do this. And I knew he was sincere as he could be. I knew he was a godly man, but I also knew that wasn't what God was saying in my heart. And so I thanked him graciously for caring enough to give me that word. I put that on the shelf. I listened to God, and I did what he told me to do, and it was a great success. I don't have an explanation for that. I can't judge why he did that. I'm sure he did that because he really cared for me and because that's really what he thought. But I'm also pretty convinced that that's what he thought up here more than what he thought in the spirit. So, he's still a good, godly man. He's still a friend of mine. I just took that, set it aside, said, God, I'm listening to you. That's not the right word. A newer example was that we had a prophet come to a church service, and his prophecy was not to me, but to one of my kids. And the prophecy was about being fatherless and how much scarred this person had been because of the lack of the father. Obviously, out in left field somewhere. And so we had to take that, set it aside, talk to my kid and says, you know, that doesn't seem to go with the facts of the things. I don't know why that guy did that, but we're just going to ignore that and go on with what God has got in our lives. So sometimes you get a word that doesn't make sense, and when you do, reject the prophecy, but don't reject the whole gift. It's not that you can never trust any prophecy again in the future because someone was wrong. Again, I'm judging what's given to me against what the Holy Spirit's leading is. I'm accepting it or rejecting it, but I'm not going to judge the person that did that unless the Holy Spirit says, you know, that's from the devil or something like that, then I've got a bigger thing. But sometimes well-meaning people are wrong. The other issue that I've seen happen is there was a group of kids that was coming around, and apparently they had been taught that everybody you prayed for, you gave them a word of prophecy. And so there was a girl that they moved over to and gave her a prophecy about how hard a life she had had and how God wanted her to come in from her sins and be restored to the family, and God still loves her. Only problem was she was the pastor's daughter and had never been out of church in her life. And so someone was trying too hard, I think very well meaning, to be a prophet, and because they didn't hear a word from God, they made up their own. Don't do that. We don't want to get ourselves in a position where we're making up stuff because God hadn't told us something. If God hadn't told us something, the correct answer is be quiet. God is so powerful that when he wants to say something, he'll make it happen. We don't have to make it happen for him. We don't have to help him. Abraham decided he was going to help God with a prophecy. And we have the Arab uprising today as a result of that, because he ended up with the wrong son at the wrong time with all kinds of prophets. So don't try to help God do his job. Just be willing to do whatever he tells you. Now, what do you do with a personal prophecy? I think what I did with the personal prophecies has been a real advantage to me. I wrote it down. If I hadn't wrote down those, I would have forgotten them years and years ago, and they wouldn't be still ministering into my life today. And so sometimes you quickly write down what you remember before it vanishes. Many times perhaps it's on a tape or something like that. If it's in a service environment, you get the tape. And many times I've got that on a audio tape and then spent time writing it out, keeping it. So write it down and meditate on it. And then we get the hard part. Wait for fulfillment. God gave Joseph a dream that his family was going to bow down to him. And so he went and told them. And so what do we find in the scripture? It said Joseph's brothers envied him and were jealous of him. But his father observed the saying and pondered over it. So his dad had enough wisdom saying, I don't understand this. He didn't think it was going to happen, really. But he stuck it in his heart and said, let's wait. And it was 20, 30, 40 years later, however long it took for them to be reconciled to his family. And they were all bowing down in front of him. It really happened. So just because you hear the word now doesn't mean it's going to be fulfilled tomorrow. The scripture I gave you earlier about being success in my life has been a 41-year process now that I've been with the company that I work for, building on that success for 41 years. It didn't happen the next day I had success and then I was all over with. I had a few more years that I had to work on that. So waiting is part of sometimes, and the process I read to you earlier, is I get ahead or get behind God, because sometimes it takes a while to see the fulfillment. So, that's some stuff on how to get a personal prophecy from somebody else or to be the one that delivers a personal prophecy. What I want to do now is to switch directions a little bit and talk about developing intimacy with God so you get your own voice of God. So if I could have some ushers to pass these out for me. So I want to talk a little bit about how we can get very effectively into the presence of God so that we can hear from God more directly. The other title for this piece of the sermon would be What to Do About the Brass Heaven. Sometimes we're seeking God and we're having trouble getting through. This is a teaching that I learned that I have applied in my life many, many, many times. It has always worked 100% of the time. How many like something like that that always works? You heard about the Aggie that was trying to strike a match on the box? His buddy says, what's wrong with it? He says, I don't know. It worked fine a minute ago.
I don't like Aggie jokes.
You don't like Aggie jokes? What's funny is I went to Germany one time. They had the very same jokes about people in southern Germany. They just changed the names. But some things don't work all the time, but this is one that I found that really works. And so what we're looking for is this says the Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the man's spirit in him? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. So if you want to know what God is thinking, ask the Holy Spirit. He'll tell you that. And we received the spirit of the world, but the spirit that was from God, that we might understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak, not in words taught to us by human wisdom, but words taught by the Spirit, expressing spiritual truth in spiritual words. The man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolish to him. He cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned. So to understand the things of God, you've got to be active in the Holy Spirit and let the Holy Spirit guide you and move in your heart and life so that you can hear spiritual things with your spiritual ears. Even when we get a personal prophecy that's spoken to us in our native language, the real communication is in our spirit. And so that's what we're looking for, is how to get into the presence of God. And so let's look at where the presence of God was manifest. One of the things that I did was I was studying the tabernacle, and we found that the glory of God came down on the tabernacle. And the Lord filled the tabernacle, and Moses was not able to minister because of the cloud that rested upon him. And so the Holy Spirit was present in the tabernacle as a manifest presence of God's presence. So I got to thinking about that. That's probably a good place to be in the presence of God if I want to hear what God's got to say to me. So we also saw the day of Pentecost. So what I want to do now is, this is a very visual part of the presentation tonight. So make sure you're in a position where you can see the screen. And if you can't, get closer or move around, because it's critical in order to get this teaching that you be able to see. What I want you to do is to be able to visualize this in your mind, have the picture, which will help you remember the techniques. So the technique for getting into the presence of God is found for us in the tabernacle, the Old Testament tabernacle. And so I want to start with step one. The tabernacle, as you can see here, was out in the middle of the camp. And so if you were going to get to the presence of God, you had to prepare yourself and then direct yourself to that right location. They had to go get their sacrifice and inspect it, make sure it was the right sacrifice, take it with them on purpose to the presence of God. And so this is the first step for getting into the presence of God, preparing yourself. And so this is how I would apply that. God, it's getting close to time to go to Wednesday night church. I want to receive something from you tonight. And so I want to begin to prepare my heart now before I get to the service to hear what it is you're going to say to me tonight. I'm going to thank you and praise you because I have the opportunity to go to the service. Now, when I come in that back door, I'm two steps ahead of being able to get into the presence of God because I prepared myself before I got here. If you just walk in the door and hope the presence of God hits you, you're about two or three steps behind me because I'm already thinking about it and preparing myself. And so coming into the presence of God is not like driving the road and suddenly seeing a McDonald's and pulling in right quick. I told a guy the other day I was having trouble with my car. That I was driving down the road, and all of a sudden it started pulling real strong to the right. I couldn't remember what was going on. Then I realized I was passing Walmart, and it thought it was supposed to turn in. But you don't get into the presence of God that way. You got to prepare yourself. And so the tabernacle was out here, but you had to get there. So let's go up closer to the tabernacle and see what the next phase is. The only way to get into the presence of God, which is represented by the Holy of Holies, was you had to go through this gate. Only one way in. No jumping the fence, no going around the back way. And so there's only one way to go. Now, the gate was easy to get into. It's about 40% of the width of this whole side. So it's not that hard to get into, but there is one way. What is the gate to get into the presence of God? Jesus. And so for me to get into the presence of God, I have to recognize that that is the way that I get to connect with God is through Jesus. He's the one that opened up that path for us. And so that was the representation of the Old Testament. And so then my next prayer is, Jesus, I thank you because you have been my sacrifice. I thank you because you're at the right hand of the Father. I thank you because you're inviting me into your presence. I thank you because your blood has covered my sins so that I can come into the presence of God. I thank you that you're my high priest, that you're representing me in the presence of God. I'm going to come through you to connect with God. That's a thought process that I have to go through deliberately because that's a key importance. Now, before you misunderstand what I'm saying, this is a way to get into the presence of God for personal devotion, for worship, for a specific time of prayer. This is not the only way that you can have prayer. If I've got a car pulling out in front of me and I'm about to have an accident, I pray, Lord, save me. But if I'm coming to church or going to my personal devotions, then I prepare myself using this methodology. So, okay, we get into the presence getting into the presence of God through the Holy Spirit. And the next thing we're going to come to is the altar, the bronze altar. And so inside, we've come to this altar, and this altar was where they offered the sacrifice for sin. And so before you go any further into the presence of God, you've got to deal with sin. Now, we are very fortunate we don't have to have a lamb or a bull or a goat or even a pigeon because Jesus has paid that price already. This tabernacle is a physical representation of something that really exists in heaven. The only difference in heaven is they're not a sin offering there because Jesus took care of that and you don't have to do that. But here we do. So I've acknowledged Jesus as being the way I'm going to get into the presence of God, and so now I have to deal with sin. And so in my mind, I stop at this altar and I say, Lord, thank you that your blood covers all of my sins. Lord, forgive me if I've done anything wrong or anything that you would consider sin. Restore unto me that full covering of salvation. I thank you that you have provided that freely and that when I ask you, you are quickly willing to forgive my sins. Lord, make everything right between us. The truth is, I'm not too sure you can really get into the presence of God till you deal with your sin. That acts as a barrier. And so I stop at this altar and I spend time looking at my sin and making sure everything's fine with me. Oops. So now where are we going? Let's go back over toward the tabernacle building itself. And the thing we see next before we get into the actual tabernacle building structure is a brass laver, a wash basin. Now here the priest had to wash off the dirt and the contamination of the world before they could go into the presence of God. I'm not dealing here with sin, I'm dealing with distractions. And so I'm going to wash off those things that distracted me. So here's how I'd pray that prayer. Lord, I want to focus my mind on you. I'm going to wash off those things around me that would distract me from being into your presence. I'm going to quit thinking about my job or about what time of day it is or what's going on in my life. I'm going to wash that out of my mind and off of my presence so that I can focus totally upon you. Not sins, distractions. And so now I've got my sins covered. I've come in through Jesus. I've got my sins covered. And now I'm cleansing my mind and my ability to worship. So now what? Let me back out a little bit and let's go into the holy place. Roll up the side. And there's two chambers in this place. One is the holy place here, and then the Holy of Holies where the Ark of the Covenant resided. So when I come in here, the first thing I'm going to see is off here to the right. This was the table of showbread. And so the table of showbread then is the place where they put loaves of bread. And the showbread then reminds me that God is my supply. He's the supplier of everything I need. So as I walk in here in my mind, I stand in front of the table of showbread and I say, Lord, thank you for being my supply. Thank you for all the blessings that you've provided for me. I'm so blessed with what you've done for me. I'm so blessed that I can trust you with tomorrow. I'm never going to run out of your blessings. Lord, I thank you for my family. I thank you for my church. You can just go on, and I'm focusing on how God has blessed me. And that will certainly get your mind in the right place. Now, what's on the other side? Over here, there's a golden candlestick. And the golden candlestick had the flames of it and the oil representing the Holy Spirit. I need the Holy Spirit at work in me as I get into the presence of God because He is my connection with the spirit world. And so I walk up to the golden candlestick and I say, thank you for the Holy Spirit. Thank you for being my comforter. Thank you for being with me all week. Thank you for providing the gifts that you give to us that allow us to understand the presence of God. Thank you because you have ministered to me and comforted me and provided me with a place where I can worship and connect with God. And so now I'm focusing on the Holy Spirit. If you have a prayer language, this would be a good time to use it. And then I'm going to proceed further on down to the end of the tabernacle, just before I get into the veil that's separating us from the presence of God, and I find this altar of incense. On the altar of incense, they put incense on it, and it made the smoke that went up to the heaven. What is the altar of incense? The altar of incense also shows up in the heavenly places, and we find on the altar of incense the prayers of the saints ascending before the throne of God, making a pleasant savor before the throne of God. I praise God. Praise you, God, because of who you are. I praise you because of your mercy on us. I praise you because you're so powerful. God, you deserve all the praise I've got because of who you are, because of what you do, because of the many things that you've given us, for the mercy that you give us. I just praise you, I praise you, I praise you. If you want to make a stink in heaven, this is the place to do it. Make it a good one. Smell up heaven with the flowers of your praise. And when you do that and begin to praise Him, you can't help but begin to feel the Holy Spirit moving in your life. No matter how dead and discouraged you happen to be that morning or that afternoon or whenever it is you're performing this procedure. And so now what happens is the next place we see is the Holy of Holies. Oh, the gate went back down. That's not a good sign. It must not have worked this time. What happened in the temple when Jesus died? This veil that separated the presence of God from everything else was ripped. God ripped open the thing that separated us from his presence and say, come on in his best southern accent. Because what happens now is God wants us in his presence, but all of these things we did in preparation are a part of us getting through that wide open rent in the veil for the presence of God. We still don't wander into the Holy of Holies without taking care of our sins, without focusing on God, without praising him, without getting our hearts right. As wonderful as God wants us to come into his presence, he's still holy. And he deserves our respect. And so we prepare ourselves, and then we are freely able to walk into the presence of God. Inside, here is the Ark of the Covenant where the presence of God dwelt. It's really interesting how you see this. When I think about this, and for a long time I thought about, you had this room in here, totally enclosed on all sides, and this big curtain in front of it. It had to be really dark in there. Nope. You could not have darkness in the presence of God. I really don't think it was ever dark in there. I think the light of the presence of God lit that up, and that was the brightest place in the whole, because the presence of God was there. And so now I go into the presence of God. I walk up to the mercy seat of God where the presence of God dwells, and I talk to him face to face. And so if I'm having trouble getting into the worship service, they're singing songs, but I'm not really into it. In my mind, I walk myself through this procedure, and suddenly the songs come alive because I'm in the presence of God. And so if I can get into the presence of God in my personal private devotion time, or in a service, or in praise, or in the songs, I don't really need personal prophecies, because, man, I got plugged into the guy that gives the prophecies. And so instead of waiting for somebody to give me a word, I go through this process and I walk into the presence of God and let him speak to me directly. That's what Moses did. Moses went up and God talked to him, and he talked to God face to face. God was his friend. I think Abraham did the same thing. It talked about Abraham was a friend, and God came down and talked to him. God talked to all the disciples. God talks to me. He'll talk to you. And so I recognize that I had to prepare myself to get into his presence. I go and recognize that Jesus is my path into the presence of God. I take care of my sins to make sure there's nothing that would separate me and cause me to have interferences between me and the presence of God. I wash off the things that are contaminating my mind that would distract me from being able to fully focus on God. Then I go into the outer, holy place. To my right is a table of showbread where I begin to thank God for all of his blessings. To my left stands the candlestick and the Holy Spirit. I reconcile myself with the Holy Spirit. I yield myself to the Holy Spirit. I recognize his presence in my life. Then I walk up to the altar of incense, and I begin to praise God for who he is and what he does, how wonderful he is. My next step is into the very presence of God. It works. And that's why I've given you the handout. I want you to take this handout, and I want you to practice it. Now, hopefully, you'll have some personal devotions between now and Sunday. You can practice on that. But for those of you that don't talk to God very often, at least practice it when you come to church on Sunday morning. You'll be surprised at how good the service is if you prepare yourself before you get here. And so now that I have communication with God on an intimate level, when I hear a personal prophecy, I can say, yeah, I already heard that in the presence of God. Thank you, God, for confirming your word to me. Or, I was just talking to God about that yesterday. This is not lining up. either way, because I've had my time in the presence of God, personal prophecy now becomes a blessing to me instead of a point of confusion, as well as any other spiritual thing. You can really clear up a lot of stuff if you'll listen to God. He'll talk to you. He'll tell you stuff. It'll change your life. Okay? Any questions before we let you go? Everybody promise to practice this? Really do it. It will make a difference in your life. All right, well, let's close with prayer then. Lord, we thank you that we have the gifts of the Holy Spirit that minister into our lives. What a wonderful blessing. And we thank you, Lord, that you don't hide yourself from us, that we can enter into your presence. And you so lovingly provided for us the path and the plan for how to get into your presence. We thank you, Lord, because you teach us and you move on our hearts and lives and you invite us into your presence. And Lord, that's where we want to be. We thank you for it. Amen. All right?
This is the conclusion of the teaching. If you would like prayer, you can email us at prayerline@dominionchurch.org or call the church at 281-554-3600. Thanks for joining us.